Here we go, Simon Kof Dalet. All right, let's begin with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Matt. Okay. So, the mouse falls into the barrel of beer. Okay. So what's it? And Rav, what did Rav say? Also. So they discussed that in front of Sheshes, and they said, so what does it mean? That means that Rav holds that it's Nosi Tam of Gam is not Mutter. Okay, so firstly, what does it mean, Amar Lahu Rav Sheshes, Be'alma Savarav? How would you translate that? Yes, yeah, so what is, but yes, but what is Rav Sheshes saying, really? I understand that. He's suggesting Rav. In other words, is Rav Sheshes quoting Rav, explaining Rav, or is he suggesting what Rav might hold? Friedman, I know he's not quoting Rav. My question is he citing, is he making a definitive statement, or is he saying that Rav could hold this way? So if Rav Sheshes is a Talmud of Rav, so if that's the case, so Danny asked a very good question. I don't think that's right. I think Rav Sheshes is suggesting an alderach hadachia, alderach hadilma at best. Otherwise, you have to assume that Rav later in the sugya did not have Rav Sheshes in that discussion. In other words, if Rav Sheshes said that Rav said X, Rav seems to be oblivious to it. If all Rav Sheshes said was, no, you don't have to read the way you're suggesting, it could be that Rav holds. In other words, I would have liked it to say, Amar Rav Sheshes, La'olam Amar L'cha Rav, no Saint Tom of Gamotos. The way that would have made it absolutely clear. Right? Amar L'cha Rav means Rav could say to you, would say to you. That doesn't mean he said. That's what Rav could say. He could say no stuff. So that's what I think it means anyway. If you explain that way, then Rav's comment later makes sense. There's no reason to refer to Rav Sheshes. And he's not over... In other words, Rav later in the sugya says, okay, here's the deal. I don't know what Rav holds, but if he holds this way, we paskin like him. If he holds that way, we don't paskin like him. So, but the issue seems to have been resolved already. Rav Sheshes said what Rav held. So either Rav didn't know about that, or Rav Sheshes didn't resolve what Rav held. Rav Sheshes just suggested, no, you don't have to interpret the way you're interpreting. You can interpret the following way. Danny?
Generally speaking, methodologically, I guess generally speaking, when we have something like al derech dechia, it's usually like an exception in the case, in like the particular case in hand, right? An exception in the case of like Kesias. The dechia offered by Rav Sheshes, or if we're going to call it a dechia, is awfully broad for a dechia, right? It's suggesting that...
But it doesn't matter because he says, ba'alma sava rab no tamuter. In other words, no. Your assumption is Rav. Really, he does almost not but there's a category which Rav exempts, right? It's not Hachmamayis.
But it's the creation of a category, not for Metzias-based reasons, but for Svarah-based reasons, which is not necessarily the sort of thing we'd expect to find in the Dechia, I would think. Again, I don't necessarily have... What I'm saying is it certainly isn't, like, Mukhraf in any sense, but it's a lot broader than what we'd expect to find in a typical Dechia. Meaning, I'm much more comfortable saying that, like, let's say, Rava is arguing
so,
on...
So let me tell you what... I don't know. You have to do an analysis of every Dechi and Shas. You're making a pretty broad claim, which might be correct, but I don't know.
Right, and that's what it feels like, right?
So I will tell you that particular issue, if you take a look in the Ritva, when you get to the Maskana of the Gemara, right, Rava presents two choices. Either Rav holds no sein tam of gam is asur, and we don't paskin like Rav, or Rav holds that achbara b'shichra ashpuche mashpach. That's what the Gemara, that's the two choices Rav presents. Either way, but particularly if you opt for the second, there's a question that remains open that the Ritva points at. Other Rishonim, the Rashba, for example, simply slams the door. He doesn't even tell you what he's doing, but I think you look at the Rashba, as he is quoted in the Beis Yosef, the Rashba goes out of his way to slam the door. If in fact achbara b'shichra ashvuchei mashabach, so let me ask you a question. What happens if you happen to have an isser which is pogam b'fnei atzma? And it's pogam b'tarovas. What's the din? How do you know? Maybe, how do you know that that's not an exception? In other words, if Sheshes Svara, as you point out,
is kind of... Within
the Maskana, within Rava. Yeah. In other words, either way, Rav Sheshes introduces a Svara and a way to explain why Rav might hold that Achbar B'Shichra is Asar and yet hold no Sein Talm V'Kam is Mutter. Rava suggests a very different Mahalach. Right, there's a third possibility that the Talmidim that Rav Sheshes didn't suggest, right? Which is that it's not Nosei Talm V'Kam. Either Rav holds Nosei Talm V'Kam is Asa, or Rav holds that this isn't Nosei Talm V'Kam, it's Ashvuchei Mashbah. So either way, you're left with kind of, okay, but what about a case, what if for those of us who hold Nosei Talm V'Kam is Mutar? Whatever the Achbar B'Shichra is. But what about a case when the Isser is Pogam Bifnei Atzma? So you know that when it's Bifnei Atzma, it's also to eat because Dash State in the Torah. Right? That's Xeris HaKasav. There's nothing more you can do about that. But what happens now when it's mixed in? Do you say that now it's Pogam in this food and you can eat it? And you say no, that just as it was also when it was Pogam Bifnei Atzma, it's also now when it's Pogam in the food. So you can't tell from Rava's Maskana, at least not. It's not explicit in Rava's Maskana, Moshe.
Didn't we say that if you have food that eventually they come to be Mishabeach, then you can consider it to be Mishabeach in the end?
Only when it's Mashbeach in the end.
Oh, okay, so didn't you say that?
No, but it's Pogam in the food. If when Rava says Achbara, maybe Rav holds Achbara B'Shichra Ashpuchei Mashbach, so that could be even if the Achbar is Pogam Ifnei Atzmo, but it's Mashbiach in the Taroves. So of course it would be Asr. Nobody's going to argue that point, right? That it's Asr Ifnei Atzmo, Asr is Mashbiach Taroves. But our question is, what happens if it's Pogam in the Taroves? It's Pogam Ifnei Atzmo, but it's Asr. It's Pogam in the Taroves. If you look for a quick moment, where does he cite the Rashba? I think maybe it's in the Tshuva. No, one second. If you look in the Rashba, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, Os Gimel. He quotes when he gets a few lines in, when he gets to Rava. He says, HaRava Palagale, the Amar Hilchasa no Saint Talmudka Mutar, Achbar Meshichra Layadana, my time at the Rav. Imishim the Savar no Saint Talmudkam Osor, the less Hilchasa Kabase, Imishim the Kasavar no Saint Talmudkam Mutar, the Achbar Meshichra Ashbuche Mashbach. Perush, now he explains. Imishim the Kasavar no Saint Talmudkam Osor, and less Hilchasa Kabase, Afilu Beha Udalokara Sheishes, the Amar the Mishim the Chidishu Ashama Osera, Apopishu Pogum.
There's a mouthful there, but what did the Rashba basically say? He said the tzad that an achbar b'shichra would be no Saint Talm of Gam and Rav asserted it would mean that we're rejecting Rav because no Saint Talm of Gam is mutter And even in the case that the way Rav Shesh has tried to allow for it, even if Rav held that no seitam of gan ba'alma was mutter, but it's usher here for that tzara, we still reject it. So the Rashba goes out of his way to point out that within the second approach that Rav held nachbura b'shichra zashvuchay mashbach, there's no you could still raise the issue of the chiddush, but there's no chiddush to talk about. But if you want to say that Rav held no seitam of gan is usher, we don't paskin now. Not only do you not paskin like Rav generally, but it means even in a case like this, when it's pogam b'fnei atzmo, and then it's pogam in taroves, we don't say that since it's usher when it's pogam b'fnei atzmo, then it's usher when it's pogam in taroves. We reject that. So the Rashba, in the tzad that he raises that possibility, explicitly rejects it.
Do you think that's a good reading of the Gemara?
It's not a compelling reading of the Gemara. But there is the problem, I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest. Even though I'm reluctant to adopt the approach you first asked me about yesterday, which is, did Rava know about Rashashis, there is something very odd about it. What compels, on some level, the Rashba to push in the direction that he does?
Because Rava completely ignores the previous discussion.
Right. In other words, the two tzadim don't seem to correspond in any way to the previous discussion. Right? Rava has certainly introduced a new idea, that maybe Achbara B'Shichra is Ashbuchay Mashbach. But with the other tzad doesn't seem to relate exactly to what came before, unless you say, "I kasav Rav no seitam lefgam," in a case like this, or maybe even generally, is usher, so then we don't paskin that way. So that's what I think pushes the Rashba to say that, but be aware that you're correct. When you read the Gemara, there's nothing mukhrach in the Gemara to say that the Gemara Rava has taken a stand on the issue that Rav Sheshes has raised. It's a possibility that remains open. I think we reject it. But it's a very interesting and novel kind of chiddush. Why, by the way, would Rav Sheshes be wrong? Rav Sheshes is very good. Sounds like a good svara. And Amora says a svara. You have to take it seriously, right? He says if the mouse is pogum mifnei atzmo and yet the Torah asers it, so when it's pogum mifnei atzmo, it's also aser. What's the teretz? Okay, so we reject it. Why? That's not a reason. Okay, I understand. But I want to know, is there svara? There's an obvious svara behind it. If I tell you it's an obvious svara, maybe somebody will say it now. This goes back to the issue that we've been wrangling about generally in the No Sein Tam Lefgam issue, which is the difference between something that's Be'en and something that's B'taroves. When it's Be'en, so that's one type of issue. That's Mamashal Shel Isser. And it's conceivable, if the Torah asserted it, obviously, it asserted it because, imagine it's like a din of berya almost. It's not a din of berya mamish, because it doesn't have to be a berya when it's ben. You can eat a piece of it, of the achbar, for example. However, once it's betarovis, the isser is mishum tam. Tam kaker is a new isser. And it's perfectly reasonable to assume that if we're concerned about, that we're not eating a mashu shel isser, we're only having its tam, maybe tam, by definition, has to be something that's l'shvach. It is entirely, it may not be mukhrach, but it's certainly conceivable that that's the response to Rav Sheshes. Okay, so anyway, go ahead, Yossi.
The question of whether a food which is inherently pogam gets mixed in to a tachshil, also pogam that. So we said there's a tzad to say that maybe
set. That's Rav Sheshes.
So the point is that we would expand that from Achbar to all other.
Yeah, I mean, when Rav Sheshes said it, that's what he meant. Okay. That's absolutely what he meant. Right? We reject that, right, Marty?
So you said that you could reject Rav Sheshes, but couldn't you say that part of Rav Sheshes' point is that people aren't going to eat the thing itself, so when the Torah was being posted to the thing, it was almost referring to Tom also because no one would actually eat the rat itself?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No one's going to eat it.
No, I understand.
But
here's what it doesn't make any sense. No one's going to put it in the tarovis intentionally either.
Right. But no one would accidentally eat a rat, but you might accidentally have a case where it falls into a
tarovis. No. The Gemara says, so it doesn't mean nobody eats it. And as it doesn't, in other words, it's not srucha meikara. There's no, I don't think Rav Sheshes is suggesting that achbara is srucha meikara. No, it means that it's not considered particularly good. Right? You eat it ayudad chak, when there's nothing else to eat, when there's no venison, you know, or no pork, so you go and you grab yourself the nearest, you grab Mickey Mouse or something like that, or Jerry. I'm sorry?
Squirrel.
Fine. We didn't get to that point yet, did we? Did the Gemara give that teretz already? No, not yet. Yes, in the end, the Gemara is going to suggest that achbara de davra is edible. Achbara de masa not so edible. And achbara de davra is a squirrel, okay, in Old French, which is a squirrel, okay. And as I explained, for those of us who are Teaneck residents, maybe elsewhere in New Jersey, also I don't know, maybe elsewhere, we have a term cast in for squirrels. You know what we call them? Rats with bushy tails. Okay?
Yossi wants to eat the...
Yossi? Then is vermin. Okay? Make no mistake about it. The squirrels is vermin. They eat the apples from my tree. Not very happy. Okay. Yes, really.
A mouse, a rat,
yes. Yes, yes. And I'll say, if you came late this year, the appropriate response when you realize that you came late is... rats. Okay. Go ahead. I had to say it. I'm sorry. You're not mechuyev to let. You know, I haven't said it this year, so I'll remind anybody who's new in Shir, and how many newcomers aren't this year, the rule about jokes in Shir. What's the rule about jokes, Lion?
Well, you can say them, but they have to be funny.
And except for me. Yeah. If I make jokes, okay, and they're not funny, it's okay if they're not funny, but you're not mechuyev to let. Go ahead. Continue. So if that's the case, why, once you're saying that the that it's really mamish ma'us, then why in order for it to kivei tumah, and the assumption is that the isser tumah and isser achila are related to one another, just a backdrop piece of information here. What is metame? Behema is metame, chaya is metame. And if it's not a behema or a chaya, then in order to be metame, it has to be from the shemona shvatzim. Oaf is not metame, with one exception. Oaf is never metame benigia, or through a dead bird, obviously. We're talking about dead things here. Living creatures, except for Minatora, except for human beings and Dafki Yisrael, living beings never convey Toma. It's only dead things. And a bird is only conveys Toma and how? No. Tomas beis hablia of an oaf tahar, of a nivlas oaf tahar. It has to be dafka kosher species if it's in a vela, and you eat it when it's in the base ablia, your metame and the begadim which are on you. Special gzeres hakosav, it's the end of perek tazayin. I mean, it's not as befeirish as you, if you read only read chumash, you wouldn't get it. You'd have to read Rashi. But tumas beis ablia is found in the last pasuk of, or two pasukim of perek yud zayin of Vayikra. It's out the middle perek of Achimos, the part that we don't read on Yom Kippur. And the dinim of tumas beis ablia, I believe, are discussed in the beginning of Maseches Taros. Okay, so anyway, so Behem and Chai is Metame. Shvatzim are not Metame unless it's one of the Shemona Shvatzim. The Shemona Shvatzim are mostly lizards, mostly reptiles. A couple of them are probably rodents or something like that. It's not clear if the Tinshamis is a bat or something like that. It's also a bird. What?
Is the Chulda a rodent?
If it's a Chulda, it's technically a weasel, which is not from the family of rodents. Small mammalian creatures, how's that? I don't know how broad that category is. In other words, if achbar is mentioned, if a mouse is there, what about a rat? What about a squirrel? What about a guinea pig? You know, what about a capybara and things like that? You don't know what a capybara is?
It's the biggest rodent.
It's the biggest rodent. Go to the Van Soen Zoo in Bergen County. They have capybara. At least, I haven't been there in years when my kids were little. Capybaras. They're just big rodents. They're very big rodents. What's that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the lizards, there are a number of there are lizards in there. There's chameleon, a gecko. Question is how broadly expansive. You know, would you include a Komodo dragon in that or something like that? Snakes are not. And snakes would be in the Kaya Shvatzim. They're, you know, holech al gahon. They're not. They're also to eat, but they're not metame. There's no tumah associated with them, either in touching, carrying, or eating. So the din right now we're talking about an achbar, which is one of the Shemona Shvatzim. So there's tumah as well associated. The assumption of the Gemara is that there's of the Rabbanon who are challenging Rishis is that the tumah and the achila are related to one another. Once it's no longer mekabel, once it's no longer metameh, it's no longer asar b'achila. Once it's no longer edible and asar b'achila, then it shouldn't be metameh either. So if that's the case, presumably when it's yavesh. When it's yavesh, we assume that yavesh. The assumption of the makshim are is that if it's yavesh, it's not metameh because it's not edible anymore. But if you're correct that sheretz is aser anyway, because people, it's mimas and bedile inshiminei, so then there should be one, and it's nonetheless aser b'achila. It should be aser even when it's desiccated, even when it's dried out. So it should be a metameh lach v'yavesh. Allah matnan. Yeah, why is it that it's metame only when it's lach? Kasdan.
Rashi on this line in the Gemara seems to assume at this point in the Shakla Mataya their claim to have sheshit is, so therefore it's not memos moshum dili and shivine. Isn't that something that you can do mevarer by?
I don't think it's a machlokus in how many people would or wouldn't eat it. I think it's understood that most people wouldn't eat it. Most people only eat it when they're kind of desperate. And then the question is, how do we rate to that as a halacha category? Do we say that since people eat it only when they're desperate, it's really not considered rad achila and Torah? It's kein gid, right? Eitz be'alma v'atara sratu, not quite. Or do you say that no, that even though people don't necessarily like it, but that's not called pogum?
So Rashi really means the category of Rimas Maris, who do and Shemineh.
Correct. I think so. You can interpret it either way, but there's nothing compelling what Rashi is saying. That's when they challenge Rav Sheshes, initially, you need Rashi for that. When they challenge Rav Sheshes, what are they arguing about? Is it a Matthias question, or is it a definitions
Rashi,
issue?
I would have thought they were just saying that there's clearly no exception case to something that's Maris. There's no chiddush with something that's Maris.
But why not? But if it's not, if it's Bamish people don't eat it, then it's not Roy Lachila. So what does it mean that Torah said it? So I think this is a definitional question more likely than any type of machlokes and mitzvahs. Moshe?
Should this rule of chiddush also apply to the other eight shvatzim? Because even if they might not be considered most, they still have the same, they're on the same level as the rat.
Probably.
Didn't you say before that according to the fishes, it's probably the same thing that applies to Ashbar, but also
any other things that would fall under the category of Mimas Maisa Bedila Inshimi and the Torah asked it anyway, yes.
So presumably...
It depends upon that. Even if one of the Shemona Shvatzim is not Mimas Maisa Badalmine, right, so I don't think it would apply to that. I think it would have to be a case d'afka where people are Polish Mina.
Even though they're all really on the same level, it's just that here it's more pronounced because you can see that it's Mimas.
I don't know. It's a good question. Let the two of you fight it out since... I'm not going to step in between the two of you. Okay. I guess on the assumption that I don't know what the kasha was. Why should shichva zera be mitame lach v'yavish? It's not nisar achila. It's just in the din of tuma. What did Rashi say? Do you remember?
Yeah, that's what sounds like to the Gemara. The question is,
what's that?
People will be no
gaya. But that's not a din. The what we're talking about is davar pagum. I don't know why that's really related. Okay, that's what he says. So the Gemara's answer is, what do you have to say? Rashi says that. Why would the Torah be mazir against touching it? It's mos, people wouldn't touch it anyway. It must be the Torah should rasa dafka when it's yavesh, when it's less mos.
Why didn't your question apply in the last line also?
No, when it comes to achila, I understand.
We've been talking about achila
a lot beforehand. Litame lach.
Also, tuma
no.
For the
no, I know, but my assumption is that that's why I introduced it by saying that the tuma and the achila for the shvatzim are presumably, I don't want to say hab hatayu, but they go together. When it's usher to eat the sheretz, it's metame. When it's no longer isser to eat the sheretz, when it's decomposed or when it's inedible, it should be mutter to eat the sheretz. That was the assumption of the question. But shichla zera, who cares whether it's roy linegi or not? People, whatever. I don't want to belabor this, but it's a little bit of a jump. And the answer answers the question.
When we're talking about lach and yavesh, it definitely means, you know, when it itself is kind of, you know, alive versus like dried and desiccated, or does it mean, you know, the same way you need to be maksha something like kabel tuma by making it moist?
No. These
not all about that.
Dvarim ha-metamim don't require hechsher in any way.
Okay,
go ahead. So I'm sorry. So hachanami b'mosam arachmana kein mosam, in the manner in which they died. And so it's when animals typically die, at that point they are not desiccated. Then that's the way the tumah has to be. Otherwise, it's not makabel tumah. It's not matami. So it's exeris hakasev. Okay. The question, of course, would be: is at this stage in the Gemara, I'm not interested in pursuing this. It doesn't matter. Lamaisa, does the Gemara think that tumah and achila are different now?
Because
there's a kosef. In other words, achila would be usur even if it's yavesh, right? Because it's already mivdal minas ma'is ubedila in shimine. And when it dries out, that hasn't changed. Whereas vaytuma does the zeres hakasav has to be kein masam. Maybe, or you could again. Part of the problem is that what's the obvious? Again, what's the difference between lach and yavesh lagabe achila? Lach is edible. People don't necessarily like it. Yavesh is not edible.
What is considered yavesh in this case?
That's an independent question. How desiccated does it have to be? But it's pretty. It is probably. Think about meat. I mean, not everybody is like this. But think about how are you supposed to have a steak? Have a good piece of meat. How do you prepare it?
Raw.
It should be close to raw. Take a piece of meat. Take a piece of meat. I assume you're just doing. You're being a mumar lahachis now. Okay. What's that? Something like that. He's a Talmud mamra. Just to annoy me. So the point is that even if you like your meat, as I have a friend who likes to say, like shoe leather, right? You really, really, really overcook it, and it's absolutely inedible, right? All the moisture is gone, and you don't have to burn it. It's just inedible. So the point is the difference between a moist mouse or squirrel and a desiccated one is that one of them, people, you know, why is it mimas mayas ubedila in shemine? This is a bit different, better way of describing it.
It's like squirrely
and mushy. I'm willing to bet the following. I'm willing to make it, I'm willing to bet you that if you were to look at the sort of the, if you were to take various kinds of animal flesh and taste them, they would have different tastes, but there would be relative similarity in terms of the experience, whether it was from a deer or whether it was from a mouse. And as if you get the muscle meat of these particular animals, game meat is pretty is not so juicy. It's not so fatty, for obvious reasons. So it would probably be somewhat similar. I think the reason why don't people like to eat mice? Is it because they taste bad? No, it's the idea of it is somehow, you know, it's creepy. Correct. It's more psychological. It's not physical. But dried out, that's not psychological. Right? Just as regular beef, you dry it out. It's not a correct. It's not a psychological. It's really we would say people don't like to eat mice. We wouldn't say mice are inedible, but a desiccated mouse is inedible. It's also, you're right, but it's prepared that way. It's prepared with other things. So it's a little bit of a different experience. So you probably could make mouse meat jerky too, but probably in order for it to be edible, you have to prepare the moist meat that way. You have to start out with it and prepare it that way, not start out with a desiccated cow and then make beef jerky with it.
So we're saying yavesh is more mos than lach.
It's less edible than lach, yes.
So we're saying that it's more mos?
It's equally mos, but less edible.
Based on the way it's compared to Shifa Zara, that appears very unlikely. Meaning, like, in terms of Ma'us, right? Because Shifa Zara, we can all agree, is, like, much more Ma'us lost than Yavish, right?
Right.
So the Gemara has the exact same formulation, but the Shifa Zara is Tamei Lach B'Yavish, although it's not the Tamei Lach.
So you're pointing out there's a problem in the... No, but what the...
This is Le'inyan Tuma. The Gemara is talking Le'inyan Tuma here.
Look, here's where Rashi's comment is relevant, because Rashi knows that the comparison of the Gemara is very difficult. Rashi said, the Torah prohibits acts. The Torah would only typically prohibit X if it made sense that people might do X. Now, when it came to the mouse, since people wouldn't typically eat the mouse even when moist, the Rabbanan's suggestion was, the Rav Sheshi's suggestion was that the Isser should apply across the board. Because people wouldn't, now, there is a difference. Why do we reject Rav Sheshi's ultimately? Are we saying that it's not true, Mimas Maisa Bedina and Shimine? No. The reason we reject Rav Sheshi is because one is edible and one is not edible. But the kasha was, or the suggestion of the Gemara was, that once you're saying that the prohibition is, that when we have a prohibition, we interpret it, in fact, I can take this a second step, we interpret it in light of the way, the Torah only prohibits things that people normally do, that it has to prohibit. Okay? So if that's the case, so the question of the Gemara might be, even going back to the Tumah case, I guess Rashi does already anticipate this. He anticipates this question, which is that forget achila, not achila. In the case of tumah, once you're arguing that when the Torah prohibits something, you look at the way that what people are more likely to do, then the Torah should, if you were going to prohibit one, you should have prohibited dafka negia in the achbar when it's dead, when it's yavish, because people are less likely to touch it when it's lach, right? But you should be mitame both ways. In other words, it doesn't make sense for the Torah to have prohibited the less likely action.
Right. And in other words,
and by shechvazera, the same thing.
So it's not necessarily like this isn't a direct comparison. This is just illustrating that the chiddush doesn't this is challenging Rav Sheshi's assumption that
you're allowed to
that the din of cheretz is rooted in chiddush.
And that when you interpret Isurim, you sort of shift them to the point of more likely behavior as opposed to the explicitly stated behavior.
Right, or
the
more obvious. Which is another extent of finish.
Okay. So now, yes.
So in terms of the Achila issue, so are we saying that since if this is a Chiddush and we don't have any Gzeras, Pasuk telling us that only Lach is Asur, then therefore this is true?
Well, I'm going to track what I said before. Let's leave it with Tumah. Let's leave the Gemara's comparison to Tumah. But the assumption is if that's the way you read Isurim, because what people would typically do, so therefore you sort of change the whole way you look at things normally, which is what Sheshis wanted to do with No Saint Tom of Gum, so then you should have done this Lagabe Tumah in a different way. In a different way. Lagabe Tumah. Lagabe Tumah. I don't know what he would say by Achila. He might say by Achila, no, that there's a difference between what people don't like to eat and what people can't eat. So that's why I'm going to retract what I said before. Continue. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know that Achbara, I didn't scroll me this Olah Shulchan Malach. Okay.
What? I think rabbit is. I don't know about
squirrel.
Squirrel is like welcome. Rabbit's like that.
Wabbit, okay.
That sort of affirms your statement that something being moss is different than being inedible.
I'm sorry?
That sort of confirms...
Yeah, well, yes, because it says it's olav shulcha malachim. It doesn't say ochle moso. Right, it says it's a delicacy. Okay. Okay, a mouse versus a squirrel. Squirrels are olav shulcha malachim. Mice are not. If I saw a squirrel on a shulcha malachim, I'd pull out my shotgun. And, well, it'd be dead already. All right, fine. Go ahead. I have a thing about squirrels. They only look cute. They're weaselly vermin. Yeah.
Why is he answering his own
question? Dan, he asked me that question. Did you check his fayad?
Did I check the kid? I did not check his fayad.
Yeah, it is an odd thing. One almost wonders whether there's an error here or something like that. Okay. All right, so now...
I just thought he was being stinky.
What?
I just thought he was being stinky, like a squirrel.
I'm kind of sure that someone can, like, set their own question to answer it. Right. Maybe the
thought process.
Okay.
Sometimes it says, but, basa de...
Yeah, basa de baya de pashta. Basa de baya de pashta. Yeah, but that's usually when you have literally by... When he asks in basa de baya de pashta is when he asks the halachic question. Is it A or B? And then he figures out, oh, it's either A or it's B. Here, Maskev says, I think you're saying is wrong.
And they said, oh, well, come to think of it, it could be. All right.
Wait,
yes.
Meaning his matkip is against Rav Sheshet, correct?
Correct. Correct.
So why then later, the way this is eventually gets codified, is his chiluk then brought down even for those who hold like Rava? Meaning seemingly it seems like he only...
So the Shach makes a point about that, I believe. The Shach thinks that... I read the Shach in two different ways now, but I think one way I think he says the Rambam leaves out the distinction. I think many of the Rishonim leave out the distinction, they assume. But it could still be true, by the way. Right? It could be that one of them is definitely Mashpiach, and the other one is a Safek. But you're correct. Okay. Amarava. Okay. Fine, so we discussed that already. So now the Gemara continues. So what is challah?
Vinegar.
What? Chometz yayin, v'chometz shechar lo yishteh. Right? Chometz yayin, Uncle translates, chal dachamar. Challah. I think, I'm not sure if it's challah or probably maybe challah. In Aramaic.
It's like bad.
You should stick to Lumbus, Yossi. Stick to Lumbus, not linguistics, okay? Okay. A little too much of that, you know, gush, literary, whatever stuff. Okay. Kidding. It's the seeing, you know, similar letters, and it's a leitmotif. Okay, go ahead. Continue. You know, the Gush guys, sometimes you have to just burst their bubble a little bit, that's all. Alright, this is a very important question. Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi, there was a story, it happened in Rav Kahana's house, and Rav Kahana prohibited it. Meaning a mouse fell into vinegar. So don't you see from that in vinegar, it's again, if he asked it, and we paskin us at Talmud Gam is mutter, obviously it must be l'shvach in the vinegar. To which he answers, hahu imartute imartat. Okay? What is that word mean? So firstly, the yud in that word means what? What's that yud mean? The second letter.
It's
passive. It's a tough, that drop. Ismartute ismartat. Okay. What is the root?
Membrane.
What does the root mean?
To
become bald. To be de-haired. So the Ran quotes a few different interpretations here. One or two of which actually are based upon that reading. I think he quotes, I don't know if this is what the Ravid said or somebody else says, that an achbara in Shichra and generally is only no Saint Tam Lefgam when it's got its hair on it. Once you strip the hair, then it's no Saint Tam Leshvach. And so that particular achbar, you know, I guess he went to the barber before he got before he took a dive into the vinegar. Meaning it was the mouse had been dehaired. And then, I don't know how that happened, and maybe because somebody wanted to eat the mouse, and then it fell to the vinegar. And that is no Saint Tam Leshvach. So that's why you can't bring any rayas about achbara b'chala, because that was a case, there are cases where an achbar will be the shvach, namely when you defuzz it. But Rashi has a very different interpretation. Rashi says, the imartute imartut, which means what? Somebody said it? Chopped up into little pieces. So I don't understand. Filter it. It's a case where it can't be filtered. Apparently, it was a dish that had vinegar. It wasn't straight vinegar. Vinegar you can filter. Vinegar is a liquid. But it was some type of a thick food that had a lot of vinegar in it. So then it doesn't help to strain. You can't strain it out. It's got a lot of little pieces. So, I have a kasha then, so what's the problem?
Well,
bata. What's that?
That's
their answer. Yes, okay. I'm just speaking in his stead. But you all know that the Ran said it, so I'm not, So, what did Rashi was bothered by the question. What does Rashi say? It's a huge chiddush that Rashi says here. The Shach likes it. Some others like it. It's a very, very big chiddush. Right? It's a fairly good question. So Rashi writes, Imartute imarta lachatichos dakos ketanos v'sheretz isuro b'cha adasha. Now what is a adasha? A lentil, as opposed to a kezayis. Kitum also, just like the tuma of a sheretz is b'cha adasha, so too is the isur achila, meaning the shir shalim. V'chashinan dilma bolea chatichos sheretz b'hadei chometz. Maybe you're going to be eating chatichos of the sheretz, meaning presumably chatichos that are lentil size, while you have the chometz, which seems to be very likely, because a lentil, if you've ever seen what a lentil looks like, a lentil is not very big.
Are we talking about a cooked lentil or a dry lentil?
Maybe cooked.
No, they're
hugely
different.
A cooked lentil may be a significantly larger volume than a dry lentil. However, it's not very big, even as it is.
No, but like
when you compare it to a...
Size,
what?
Like 10 times the size is very reasonable.
Yeah, firstly, also, what does a lentil look like? This I don't know when it's harvested. As we have dried lentils, but I assume they're dried out. I assume that the non-dried out version, is more like a cooked lentil.
Well, say the zayin also, do we see that a raw size or like a
pickle?
Like doesn't affect the size.
I know. Isn't that different in size?
Well, yeah, because a zayit on a tree is smaller.
Are you sure? Listen, there are various sizes of olives you can buy in the supermarket.
No, I understand that, but
I don't know how...
Moisture gets... they get moist and they expand more.
A little bit. I'm not in the same way
it's
that
same
a dry... I understand. I assume we I don't know what we do. All right, I have no idea. But I'd assume that you don't look at a dried state in between. That I assume. So either way, a lentil is pretty small, and it's pretty small compared to a kazayis even. Jonathan.
The reason I think that it's an uncooked lentil is because you said etzem kisao, or that's cooked piece of barley.
That's true. It's probably like a grain of barley. It's probably like the raw state, but that's not a dried lentil.
Yeah, I don't know what
a
raw lentil is.
Right. I mean, I know, look, you can get, a pea. What's that? Anyway, bottom line, the lentil is much smaller than a kazayas. So the question, the obvious question, Rashi says, maybe you're going to eat a lentil size. So what? That's always the case. Tell me something. Some pieces of chazer get chopped up into your pot. What's the shear isra achila for a chazer? Chazer? No, that's the shear of the for onesh. What's the shear isra achila? Kosherhu. Right, so you're eating chatzi shir essentially no matter what. And why are you afraid that when you have the chazir, there may be your big pieces? Great balls of chazir. Right? You get lots of, pieces. And some are meat, and a few of them are chazir, right? And who's to say, nobody said that if a piece of chazir falls into your pot, in order for the pot to be mutter, if you can't locate it anymore, and you're more than shishim, nobody says that it has to be less than a kazayis inside. So what is Rashi talking about? It's nice. It's nice that the sheretz has a different shear. Very nice. Okay, so if you eat a pifnei atzmo, it's a different shear from malchus. Why should that matter in terms of bittel? What is Rashi saying? It's a big chiddush. It sounds like Rashi is saying it's a din of beria. There is a Gemara Mishnah somewhere that says that a tchilas beriaso of the shvatzim is kadasha. I forget which sheretz they single out where its initial bria is the size of Gadash, and that's where the shear comes from. So it seems like, I assume this is only midrabanan. Well, we know that berry is only midrabanan, the whole din of berry is only midrabanan, that we treat a kadasham and a sheretz, because it's a unique kind of isser, as a berry. Doesn't matter that it's not the whole creature. It's exceptional.
And that's what the concern is. The concern is if it's imar tute, imar tut, is that it's a din of bury, and bury it lo b'teila. Matt, question it. Yossi. Yes, of a sheretz, of a sheretz. You can hunt it down. It's not so hard to find. Even if it's not a whole animal, it stores it in a barrier once you have an adasha. Okay. And the Gemara gets to the maskana and ends up saying that the shear is, for all Yisroel Shabbat Torah, sorry, it's b'shishin. Yossi.
Oh, so in terms of the bronze breeding, so does that suggest that the rats are not mashbiach
chometz,
only they're only mashbiach if they don't have their hair on.
Those are two different readings. Rashi would say the Gemara's maskana is could be that it could be that the rats are pogam in chometz, but there's a barrier issue. But if you say that's not the Gemara's teretz, then you'd be saying that sometimes rats are mashbiach for sure, namely when they are dehaired, but not necessarily always.
Just what do we read Rashi? How do we know that there just maybe isn't enough chometz to be mevazel the sheretz?
Then the teretz would... Then again, the whole question doesn't make any sense. If there wasn't enough chometz, so... If it's no seitan of gum, obviously the case is that an achbar fell into challah, which means that there was more challah than achbar. So if it's no seitan of gum, so then there's no shayla. There shouldn't be a shayla. It shouldn't be mutter. If they asked it, it must be because it's not saying Talmud Shvach. It's not a case where there was more mouse than there was vinegar. That doesn't make any sense. Then that wasn't even a kasha in the first place.
Right, but there could be 10 times the vinegar of the mouse and still be no tentam.
But if it's lefgam, it doesn't matter. That's the whole point.
But in this case, it's a shvach.
That was the Gemara's raya. The kasha was, is an achbar no saying Talmud Shvach in vinegar? That was the question, right? Achbar b'chalamai. And if you bring a story in which they asked vinegar that a mouse had fallen into, so presumably it's because it's no Sintam L'Shvach. And that would demonstrate that an Achbar B'chala is no Sintam L'Shvach. The answer could be they didn't ask it because of Tan, they asked it because of Be'en. The answer could be it was actually no Sintam L'Shvach in that case because of unusual circumstances, but wouldn't apply to all circumstances, namely a de-haired mouse or some other teretz. One more teretz the Ron has there. I forget if that fits in that. I think it's in that similar category. So... I think I'm not answering your question or to your satisfaction.
I don't think you're not answering my question. but I think it was because I'm not really sure what my question is right now, so I'm going to think about it for a minute.
Okay. They laughed. They didn't hear the ending to your question. He said, because he's not sure what his question is either. Okay. All right. Don't laugh at the person whose notes you depend upon. Okay. I took down everybody who was laughing. I think you can share your notes with Judah. Okay. Anyway, I didn't see you lie. So, don't say anything.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay, Daniel.
Why does Rava and subsequently we have a suffix as to whether or not it's a shvach? I mean, he's the subak. Whether Rava was just assuming that it's that he holds no tam of kam is usher, or if it's l'shvach, wouldn't Rava know whether or not it was l'shvach? Or if the assumption is. Is the assumption it's definitely l'shvach, and the question is just...
I don't know. I just don't know. He's the subak. You're asking, why didn't we give it to a kfela?
Yes.
I don't know. See, I'm not sure that this is a... I don't know. It's a good question. Ellie?
Now that we've discussed the Ron's understanding of Imrtut and Imrt, doesn't that make a lot more sense in the context? And I mean, like, Rashi has to, like, flip upside down to understand Gemara. And like, does this mean chopped up anywhere else, or is this just here that Rashi makes it?
I don't know. I doubt this word. I mean, I'm going to say it doesn't occur elsewhere, but that's pretty rare. Okay.
Can I get a second shot?
What?
Can I get a second shot?
Sure.
Okay. We're trying to prove in the Gemara that that it is not a shvach.
In vinegar.
In vinegar. And the answer is that it might be that in this case it's not a shvach, whereas in other cases it's not.
Correct. That's
or in this case it's usher, but in other cases it's not.
Correct. In this case it's usher, but not because of no seitam, not because of no seitam l'shvach,
but rather because
some other reason, because of ban.
So why do I need to invoke beria in order to argue that there's a ban?
No, because what does it mean? Why is there a ban here? If you're,
because there are small pieces of mouse.
But that can but I said that can happen in any tarovis. You can have small pieces of chazir in your pot, and if you can't identify them, then they're not us.
So if the difference between a whole mouse and a chopped up mouse is that a whole mouse is something you recognize and you remove, and a chopped up mouse you might not be able to do so.
And why would it be us?
Because there's not enough to be mevatel the mouse.
If it's nosin talmuf gam, how much do you need to be mevatel a mouse? Let's say you took your mouse and you stuck it in your Cuisinart blender. Okay? Anyway, so you now pour it into your stew. So what do you need to be mevatel? Well, if it's nosin talmuf shvach, you need shishim. If it's nosin talmuf gam, you need a rove. Or if you have like the ran, more than just 51%. Assuming that you benefit from additional volume. So why is it different when you haven't run it through the blender? What difference does it make? If it's a beria shleima, I understand. So the answer, the way Rashi is understood, is that it is a kind of beria, even though it's not shleima. Okay? Does that have answered your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. You still don't have to share your notes with them. Mati.
I just slightly different possibility that I was thinking of before. Could it also be that maybe since the Adasha has halachic significance in terms of Tumah Tahara, I mean that Tahrobes now, because you think there might be Adasha, is now going to be the Tami thing.
But Kazayas would apply by Behem and Chaya also.
Right. Even, right, I guess.
Same thing. Now, you're raising the question, this is not our topic, but the Gemara Menachos that we didn't look at about Nevela, I don't know if some of you may have seen this, Nevela b'teila b'shchuta, but shchuta is not b'teila nevea, because efshu nevea shetias ha-shchuta, v'efshu shchuta shetias nevela. It's like the next daf from the Menachos Gemara, I think, about a mimimino. It's like daf chav kimmel. So there's a discussion there, and that seems to relate more to tumah. Let's say you have the following. This is an interesting case. Let's say you have a kazayis nevela and two kazayisim of heter. And they get mixed together, yadish v'yadish. And you pick them all up. Are you tummy? It's tumah b'teila. Even if you blend, let's say you have a kazayis nevela and you mix it up in a stew and it's a shishim. Are you tummy if you whole carry the stew? So I'm not answering the question, but I want to leave tumah in a different parsha in this discussion. Bittul and tumah. Liam.
Why can't we just say that it's, according to Rashi, it's also because you can identify the pieces. There's just so many chopped up pieces and you don't have a filter. You can't really filter out the chopped up pieces.
Can you identify them that they're mouse pieces?
Yeah.
Then you can pick them out.
I mean, if it's like a whole mouse that's grinded up and then it fell into a barrel of vinegar, it's not so plausible.
First, it should be very easy to strain it out if it fell into only vinegar. That's why they say that it was a thick top shell. And a lot of vinegar in it, but there's other stuff in it, so you literally cannot identify. There's no way to strain it. And the assumption is that you can't identify a particular piece. You can't identify a particular piece. If you could clearly, if you could identify a particular piece, you're eating it, and you pull it, and oh, mouse leg. Right? Nobody would say you're allowed to eat that. My assumption is that you can't actually. Again, that's the same question by the tourist case, the Shach's one case for the tour. Of Yavish V'Yavish. That's not about the shachs, because somebody else said that earlier. When you have, it's in small pieces, and what does it mean when you have a Taurovis of Yavish V'Yavish of a Mimishen Omino? What do you mean it's in small pieces? Can you identify which pieces are us or not? Because presumably, if you can, and you pull one out, you can't eat that. So how is that exactly bittel? He's assuming it's impossible to identify the pieces and see that you're eating the what? And you're afraid that you're gonna and we treat any time as kadash as a barrier. Okay, what does the Rambam say?
I'm picking up for Matt.
Ah, okay, go ahead.
שאנו חוששים שמא טעמו בשיחר וחומץ משפיח, אבל אם נפל ליין או לשמן או לדבש מותר, ואפילו נתן טעם מפני שטעמו פוגם, שכל אלו צריכים להיות מבוסמים, וזה מסריכים מסין טעמן.
Okay. They all have to be מבוסמים. What does that mean? Yeah, I think... It means to get smashed. Yeah, this means it means to smell good. I don't think the... No, I think the basume before you means to get smashed. But here that, here it means to... you know, I was... Yeah, I was... I think it means to get spiced. Here it has to be... Okay, anyway, so the Rambam says these have to be musamim, and therefore these things are no Saint Talmud Gam. Now, what does the Rashba say in the Torah Sabayas HaKatzar? Yeah, anything that you can remove, you have to. It's called Nikar Eser.
Okay.
Okay, because it might be, you know, St. Thomas Shvach. As opposed to things that you know that are ma'usim, that even if they remain in there, if they're not a berry, it's mutter, strain out what you can. And if you remove them, as the Rashba himself we saw said earlier, if you remove them, even if they were a rove, we don't assume that their plata is a rove. Alex?
What's Kayotze in here? What else would fit into this category?
Sirah. Bees. Somebody lists the fourth, the Sirah. Other insects, you didn't, you know, spiders.
So this is a rejection of
no, can I say behind with the off part?
Yeah. It means any rodents that fall in the same category.
What makes the rodents different?
It doesn't have to be rodents. It's any animal that we'd like that. But again, I don't think it's that the achbar, the bayan, is an edible. It's just you have bad associations with it. And it's just a little... So maybe a mole would be the same thing. Squirrels at least are able to, the achbar, the davra, at least able to fool people into thinking because they look cute. So, yes, Moshe.
So achbar, davra should be part of this because it's kavachomer. This is mashpiach. So
yes.
Okay.
Yes. But some would say it's the same suffix. You know, the Rambam doesn't draw a distinction. Ellie.
So the Rashba doesn't think that the statement of Rav Shimi like is accepted the halacha because he thinks that it's a mouse in the house. That was not so right.
No, the Rashba does accept the Rashba.
No, but he says that Achbar Shibabatim, that should be mutter, that should be the tzkam, according to Rav Shimi, yeah?
What's that?
An achbar in a house...
is the suffix. An achbar Shibabatim, it sounds like from the Rashba he does hold. Of Rav Shimi.
No, because Rav Shimi seems to say, no, there's a distinction. He doesn't think it's
a suffix. Rav Shimi says, the whole discussion revolved around, Rav Sheshis and the Chachamim's discussion of the Achbar B'Shechra revolved around the fact that it was presumably Mos. The Kasha that somebody, was Rav Shimi asked? Right. Was that, is it really Mos? They serve it al Shulchan Malachim. The answer is no. They serve certain things al Shulchan Malachim. Others they don't. So when the Rashba chooses to introduce this, he calls it Achbar Shabbatim because he's assuming that Achbar Shabbatim, of course, is no Saint Hamlet Shvach. He's Ixtafka assuming Rav Shimi. If you didn't hold the Rav Shimi, you would just say Achbar v'chayotzei bahen Maos el shachashol chacham v'zman shenafal azoch sheichol sochametz. But the fact that he says it's only by Achbar the Besa means that he holds that Achbar the Davar is a given, that it's no Saint Hamlet Shvach. Daniel.
Also, the other distinction is what drink it's falling, what liquid it's falling into. Meaning, we consider the aqua de dabra to always be lishvach, regardless of what it falls into, whereas the aqua de matu would be lishvach only in shecha and chometz, but when it comes to something else, it wouldn't be.
Correct. But again, he's making a distinction between the
two. But that's why there is still a distinction.
Right. Because an aqua de dabra is not saying how lishvach. Generally.
In anything.
What's that? Right.
It's anything, yeah.
Presumably.
Do we have any reason to assume that Rambam doesn't hold up the distinction?
Yes, because he doesn't mention it. He leaves it out. That's a very important point.
I mean,
he doesn't say Achbar Shebabayis.
Would the Rambam call a squirrel an Achbar?
It's an Achbar Hasada. I don't know what he thought it actually was, but...
And just in terms of, like, you know,
That's not what I would have said. That's not what I would have said by that. I would have said, you know what an achbar the sada is? A field mouse, as opposed to a house mouse. Okay. So ice in the Rambam doesn't make any chiluk with an achbar. He ignores Rav Shimi because he doesn't say anything. He could have said, achbar shebabayis, shalbayis, shenafal l'sheichar. It would not have taken much. And when the Gemara says something and the Rambam omits it, the argument from silence is a powerful argument, that he rejected it for one reason or another. In the same category. Assuming that's what he holds in Achbar Asadas. Right, except for maybe in... Right, correct. Okay. The Tshuva of the Rashba. Go ahead. Yes. Unless you can be a ventriloquist for Matt.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, what's a yitush?
Mosquitoes.
Okay. If you take out a spoon, you put some in the spoon, some in the plate, and you inspect, and there's no mosquito there. So, interesting question. His answer is obvious. But if you assume that that which is in the kaf or the kara is mutter, what about the pot itself that contains the part that you can't eat, the part that you can't have in strength? It's the truma. Right, a berry is only asura because of itself, not because of anything, a flavor it might give off. No, especially in this case where the plate does l'gam. Provided that the berry is whole, and shalonis that zuraso. Ha!
Ha, im neftach mimena aiver, or afilu hi shlema, v'nitraska, v'nitzadat zurata, avad shma, v'arei hi kishar ha'isirim u'batela.
Once it's not shalim, you're done, it's mutter. Ve'elu dvarim,
ve'elu dvarim shutim, lor yiti lechtov ra'ayotan kei rabu. U'ma'ata, ma shenivdach min amarak, u'biyadua she'en sham gufa shalneria, kamut shenafla sham mutter.
But if you have a part, in other words, in the spoon, on the plate, which you abodeh, and you know the goof of the berry is not there, it's mutter. The inkan.
Kamuchi,
right? In other words, what is that line? The kadir is muteris, why? Because it might be bolea tam, but it's not bolea, the goof of the mosquito.
Is that like was there like a hava mina?
Well, the Rashba said, Dvarim Baruni Roakan, and he doesn't really know why he had to answer this question. And that's really what he's saying. This is so Zalapes. Okay. Fine. So the Kader is not Bolea the mosquito hole, and it's not going to emit it whole into the next food. Okay. Lefi. Yeah, that din, that harota benos ein tam, is dafka by things that are mashpichim, which is gidanasha, nevela, right, tzipor tmeya, aval. Okay. So therefore it's totally irrelevant. Shishim is not relevant in this discussion. Haraya. So you see that if it's no Saint Tam Lefgam, then the you're going to assume automatically that, that the food would be mutter. If the food would be mutter, the presumably the right. Okay. Uma. So what does that mean? You're eating truma, and what do you taste? What's a pish pish?
Bed bug.
We learned that last year.
Wait, so what was the other one?
What?
There was two types of bugs.
Kina, that's a louse.
Kina.
Okay. So when you taste a pish pish, Zarka, he's got to throw it. Mistabra li. Notice the pishpesh is now separated, so it's a problem of beria. So that's why you have to throw it out. But it's not because, not when something is betarobis. Not beria. It's not beria. It's because it's only if that's moments. Even if you don't have a whole thing, it might not. You might not get malchus, but it's still lost. Okay. Yes.
Zorka means all that's in your mouth.
Probably yes. You're allowed to do that with the truma.
Right, and then saying the havamina was that it seems from here that the taste is a problem because the taste wasn't a problem. You could just take out the bug, but then you have to explain away why.
Correct. So right, the problem wasn't that you tasted the flavor of pish pish. It was you had a pish pish atzmo. Mati?
All this seems that he's saying that if the food might taste very good for the long run, but people are disgusted by them, so then that's always considered a symptom of gum?
What, in a tarovis, yes.
So even if if I didn't know what it was, I might think this was pretty good.
What it sounds like, right? You see that this is the position of the Mechaber and the Rama ultimately, but the Shach disagrees. He quotes Isser Heter, says no. He says sometimes and the truth is the position is sort of a compelling position. Look, an ant, a couple of ants that fall into your bee's legs and your thing, you don't taste them, okay? But let's say you had really a mouse, right? And it gave off its flavor. I don't know what it would taste like. I don't find it. The thought isn't appetizing to me, but that's a cultural issue. There are a lot of issues that are like that. Ksoves kaka is one of those issues. I don't know if everybody shares my opinion, but I find it to be repulsive to take the human body and tattoo it. But I understand that that's partially motivated by my religious upbringing, because there are a lot of people who think that it looks magnificent. So, okay, so it's a cultural issue. All right, let's just read the Torah very rapidly. Fred Eli. Okay, so he's introducing another factor here, which is that if it's cold and you remove the mouse, there's no question why, because there's no transfer of time. If it were hot, or it fell in there and it stayed in there for 24 hours, then you'd have a problem of kavush kemavushal, and therefore you have to deal with what comes next. Aval. Maybe it's the same time as shvach, Matt. That's called kavush. 24 hours. That's what he says. If it's either was hot or the mouse took a prolonged stay in motel wine or vinegar, so then beer or vinegar. So then it would be considered kavush and it would be aser. The im. Nope. We're gonna explore this in the next segment. The opening part of Simon Kofay is kavush. And it's all these, it's Kabush, Tzli, Bishul, all that's going to get discussed in Simen Kofei. But, okay, the Im. Is it really clear? The Chain. Right, it doesn't matter, or the mouse pieces could have dissolved in there. The Im.
And
it's cut up in a way that you can't actually be mevaret, it's all asa.
That's the
imartut. That's imartut. Okay. Okay, fine. All right, we'll stop now. Tomorrow, I'm going to send you Makoros. Tomorrow, I suspect what we're going to do is have some version of short shir just to complete Siman Kuf Dalet, maybe later than regular. You should probably already, if you have to finish up Kuf Dalet, finish it, but start on Siman Kuf Hei. I will send Makoros. Siman Kuf Hei is going to take us a while to do. So, those of you who have not been strong in attendance, which obviously could apply to some people not here right now, but I need to contact them, and even those who are here but whose attendance needs chizuk, please be mechazik your attendance. It's a new start. It's really a new topic. We have now finished the primary bittul issues other than Kuf Yud, Kuf Yud Aleph. And now the next four simanim deal with the question of how flavor transfers and how much is an esar and so on, which are obviously very much halacha l'maisa in many of the shaylas that come up.